Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whoa, this is Matchbox 20?
Interesting. It's not. I just ran out of time because there's ads playing
Craig,
on this thing.
Craig is going to be our next winner. Nick picked this winner during the break. Fumble Rooski Brewski.
Yeah, we all like that one.
That was a very good one. So
I like rhyming.
Yeah, oh, we're big fans of rhyming here.
There you go, Josh.
So which song is this?
This is Real World.
Real World.
I've heard this song.
Yeah.
Of course you have. It's very famous. Yeah,
Matchbox 20.
Sam writes in, these brewery names have big early Facebook unsportsmanlike conduct energy, like when the Twin Peaks girls would come in.
Yeah. I've heard stories about the Twin Peaks things that I'm glad we don't do that.
That's very like Michael Sevier on brand, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we're not that kind of show.
I loved the free food. Every week we got the
free
food. Free
food is pretty cool.
Yeah. It was
awesome. I ever tell you about my Twin Peaks story?
I don't think so.
So it was shortly after they had opened. My parents had received a mailer for Twin Peaks, like a coupon at their house. My mother, very religious woman. Mm. And I'm 21, 22, somewhere in that range.
I was about that age when, yeah.
Somewhere in there. And so we were trying to figure out, my birthday was coming up. My mom was like, hey, where do you want to go for your birthday? And I was like, oh, I'm not sure, whatever. And she's like, oh, well, we got these coupons for Twin Peaks. And I was like, oh, no, that's okay, Mom. I don't really want to go there. Because
you knew what it was.
I knew what it was. She did not. And so she's like trying to find a place that my mom and my dad can take me out for my birthday. And I was like, no, that's okay. And she's, you know, I'm kind of thinking about some places. And she goes, are you sure you don't want to go to Twin Peaks? Like, she brings it up like 3 or 4 times because they have this coupon. And finally, I just have to turn to my mom because I was doing everything I could to get her to drop it without having to tell her why I didn't want to go there with her specifically. And finally, I'm just like, Mom, that's a booby restaurant. And she goes, oh, I kind of thought it might be with the name. And I was like, then why'd you keep suggesting it? That's my Twin Peaks story.
Well, this is perfect timing because he told me he was going to call. Look at that. It's Michael Sevier. Hi, Michael.
Who loves booby restaurants?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, the food's usually bad at booby restaurants.
Twin Peaks food was actually pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I did end up going in my later years.
Where did you go?
Twin Peaks, the food at Twin Peaks
remember
is actually pretty good.
Remember the Twin Peaks studio, really, Michael? Good,
yeah.
But the new places.
New places.
I don't know the new places.
Like new places that have opened since then.
Mm. Oh.
The one that opened over by Westrose Mall, it lasted about 6 months.
Oh, it was called BJ's, wasn't it? I really think it was.
Mm. And then there's one out of Dallas that is pretty popular. I don't think that the Tilted Kilt's very good either.
I never went to the Tilted Kilt outside of that one time that I had a lot of alcohol to drink, Michael, before the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think the food that was very good there, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. Twin Peaks was good. They brought us food every, what was that, Fridays they brought us food? Thursdays?
Yeah, I think Thursdays. We got food for months.
Yeah.
Months at a time. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it shows up on my phone all the time because I always took a picture of
that's right. You tweeted one out recently of me. I looked like a child.
Well, you were a child.
You did look very young. You did look very, very young.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Robbie's there for this call because John, I don't think, could associate with it. I think John never dated, met his wife, Chris, got married, first person he ever had sex with. And so he can't relate to this. But you've been divorced, obviously, Josh, and Robbie gone through the same thing.
Yep.
And I was a whore. I went through lots of different women that were dating and stuff. And so I understand what heartbreak is about, okay? I get it. I completely understand it.
Yeah.
But Nebraska football, all of a sudden, is sitting on a couch with a therapist talking about a girlfriend from like 10 years ago and still blaming that girlfriend for being the reason why they're miserable. We've got to get rid of talking about old girlfriends, especially Mike Riley. Because if you re-examine Mike Riley, I mean, spend some time. Go through the recruiting classes. There were some misses. There was some bad luck with injuries. You go look at the games that they won, the games they lost. You go look at all of that. I mean, it wasn't that bad.
It really wasn't
as bad as we made it out to be.
It really
wasn't. 2017 was ridiculous because it was an over-expectation. Tanner Lee, they expected too much from. We all knew that Tanner Lee was a turnover machine going back to Jesuit High School. We knew that. So that was a mistake, obviously, putting him in there. But that season fell apart mainly because they lost a horrible game in Northern Illinois, and then they fired the AD, and everything fell apart from there. But to continue to blame Mike Riley for the problems of a program going on 6 years later, it's embarrassing. I don't know how this keeps showing up. Who keeps saying that it's Mike Riley's fault? Why would they do that?
So, and Michael, the thing that I guess I was confused by too, because let me find the quote where it was.
Yeah.
It said, at Nebraska, we were following Mike Riley, who was a nice guy, and so it was like a fire that we never put out. I don't even know what that means. What fire did you have to put out of him being nice?
Look, I understand this. So that first year when he was here in 2015, it was embarrassing the leniency he had with the team.
Sure.
The trip to Miami, I mean, the fact that he let them have no curfew, that kind of stuff can really mess up a team. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last through 3 years and then four more years or five more years with Scott Frost. It didn't. There's no way. The fact that he was really lenient with the team and too nice with the team, you know what he did? He tried to handle them like adults.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who's got teenagers knows you can't do that. You got to be on them at all times. You got to make sure they're doing their classwork. You got to make sure they're doing everything right. If not, they're just going to screw you over, because that's what young men do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he made that mistake. But he kind of turned it around in 2016 and 2017, where he became a little tougher on them, and they put more requirements in. And Banker left, who was also a nice guy. So there was the mean Diaco there. So it wasn't like they were just all around nice people the whole 3 years. It wasn't. I never understood that. Why that? And why that would make you lose so many close games? What does that have to do with close game loss? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, the part that I never understood, Michael, was the fact that they were blaming this guy who allegedly was so terrible. Right? If he was that bad, he still won more games than you.
In 3 years.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm like. He won more games than you, and you're like, oh, this guy was so bad at sabotage us. It's like, and he still was better than you.
Yeah.
That's the part that I never got.
Yeah, two bowl games out of 3 years, a 7-game winning streak.
I mean, they were like top 10 in the country after
top 10 for a couple of weeks. Yep.
Like,
yeah, they could have easily beat Wisconsin in that game. They've got the ball. They're over the 50. If they could have set up for a field goal, they'd probably walk off and win that game. All of a sudden, they're 8-0. I know they have Ohio State next, but still, it's a whole different season in the conversation. And it's funny because if you ever go back and look at his record, even going back to Oregon State, he was an every other year coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was all about regression and excelling, regression. So it's funny, 2018 probably would have been a bounce back year for him.
Yeah.
It probably would have been, just based off of his entire career. It's always what he's done. And so, and then look at that class they were building in 2017. They were building a great class.
Mm-hmm.
That fell apart starting with firing the AD, and obviously everybody knew by week 8 that Riley was gone as well, and so the class started falling apart. If they somehow say, listen, we're sticking behind him, say Scott Frost isn't having the incredible year he's having at UCF, and they say, well, maybe we got to keep this guy, and they stick with him, they keep the class together, you never know what happens in 2018. They probably don't win just 3 or 4 games,
mm-hmm.
like what happened in 2018. So it's frustrating to read or listen to people complain about a guy in Mike Riley that was so long ago.
Yeah.
I believe Obama was president. I mean, it's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
It's over.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that, but, you know, I can maybe give you 1 year, right? Like a transition year.
Yeah, 2018.
You know, hey, some things didn't go the way we wanted to because we were cleaning some things up or whatever. But the fact that they blamed Riley and are still blaming Riley,
it's odd.
But it's the exact reason why they failed. It's because they could never take accountability for the fact that the things they were doing were leading to the bad results. And so,
Robbie, the weirdest part about the whole thing, right? It's not the recruiting, and I don't even know if it's the close losses. It is the excuse making.
Yeah,
excuse making is so opposite. And don't make me sound. I don't want to try to sound like I'm a Midwesterner, because I obviously didn't grow up here. But one of the things that I've always kind of credited Midwesterners with is that they don't make excuses.
They take responsibility.
The crop didn't come in. They dealt with it, and they moved on to the next year. They've always been that way. And Instead of that, you had a bunch of coaches, and not just the head man, but other people too, constantly making these excuses about the old strength and conditioning coach or the lifts they did or guys being too nice or whatever else. That was the problem. Don't make excuses. Well, on the sword, be bold, talk about thumbs and fingers and everything else, and just move on to the next week and stop continually every time we stood there in the press conference talking about we're close and this and making excuses. That's what the most frustrating thing about the whole 5 years was, or four and a half, was the amount of excuses made continuously every year. Oh, we didn't have the first game against Akron, and we had, you know, Martinez got hurt against Colorado. Oh, look, man, move on. TCU lost their starting quarterback in their coach's first year. Lost their starting quarterback, took a fifth-year guy who no one wanted, and went to the national championship.
Yeah.
No excuse. Just went to the national championship game. It's frustrating to watch around the rest of college football and watch other schools overachieve based off of maybe what they have or their situation, and then listen and watch Nebraska and what they're doing. It's frustrating.
Yeah, no,
couldn't agree more.
I really agree, and I think we have to take a break right here.
Yeah.
Michael, definitely appreciate it. But you know,
and Michael, hey, thanks again for the steakhouse recommendation.
Oh no problem. I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds awesome.
All right, bye, Michael.
Bye, bye. Bye, bye.
One of the things he said is something that I've noticed recently, and I think I've been talking about it for maybe the last month, is we all assumed that Scott Frost was one of us because he was born here. Matt Rhule acts more like one of us than Scott Frost ever did.
Yeah, I'd say he acts more like one of us than a ton of the coaches over
That's
the
what
last
I mean.
Handful
like
of years.
We've been searching for one of us to lead us back to the promised land, right? Or at least lead us back to mattering at all. And we assumed that had to be a guy that was born here and played here and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It's the guy from the East Coast that coached in Philadelphia and in Texas and in the NFL. That's the guy that looks more like us and acts more like us and is more one of us. I know that's like their thing, one of us or whatever.
Yep.
He acts more like a Nebraskan than Scott Frost ever did.
And by the way, Jim and O'Neill texted in, hold on, who's blaming Mike Riley? Is this from the Frost regime? They complain about everyone and were full of excuses. Yeah, if you missed it, there was a story that Bruce Feldman did yesterday about like just changeovers in staffs. Yeah. And a part of it was about Nebraska moving on from Mike Riley to Scott Frost. And Feldman talked to two Nebraska assistant coaches, former assistant coaches. Yeah. They didn't put their names on it,
so they would be more honest.
Yeah, and Mike Riley, they essentially both of them blamed Mike Riley in the answer
again.
The first one though, specifically, we were following Mike Riley, who was a nice guy, and so it was like a fire that we never put out. Which again, that doesn't even make sense.
No, it
that,
doesn't.
It doesn't make
yes,
sense.
Yes, being a nice guy is such a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are we? It's ridiculous.
Stupid. Always good to hear from Michael.
It is. That
Appreciate
was a good conversation, too.
When we return, you're Dylan Raiola.
Dylan concern.
Yeah, you're going to be negative.
I'm not negative.
Are you going to blame Mike Riley?
Yeah, we're not going to get Dylan Raiola. It's all Mike Riley's fault.
Negative boys.
The negative boys.
I just want to talk about it. I just need to get it out there.
He just wants to talk, Josh.
Just wants to do his own research is what he's going to say next. We'll do that when we return. Also, John Bishop joins us in about 15 to 20 minutes live from the KFC Yum Center. Meanwhile, it's going to be the Popeye's Yum Center on Sunday at my house because that's a very normal thing to do.
It's going
to
be the Popeye's
72-hour chicken.
Meh Center because it's
put in the air
three-day-old chicken.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be just fine. So we'll do that.
It's going to
be great. You know what else is going to be great, friends? Union Omaha. Josh Peterson here for my friends at Union Omaha. Their home opener is under 48 hours away. It comes up on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and the first two matches this season will take place at Coniglia Field. This is year four for Union Omaha, club that's made the playoffs every single year. They won the whole dang thing back in 2021, only professional soccer club that we have in the state of Nebraska, and they really care a lot about you, the people. They really have embraced the fans, and that is one of the things that I know stood out to me when I went to my first match a couple of years ago, why I've been to a bunch of matches, including one at Coniglia Field last year, went to another one at Morrison last year, and have been to quite a handful of them out there at Warner Park. The atmosphere is absolutely awesome. You're looking for something to do with the significant other, you're looking for something to do with the family. This is the place to be as we get going into the spring and then later on this year into the summer. You can buy tickets today at unionomaha.com. Don't forget the opener and then the second match of the year. They'll take place at Coniglia Field before heading out to Warner Park. You can buy those tickets right now at unionomaha.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.